We're going to be talking about social media today, and I have a video that I'm going to show you that is actually an online advertisement for Nature Valley granola bars and products. And we're going to see the first part of that, and they're interviewing three different generations of individuals, families, on how they spend their childhood. So let's turn the lights off and we'll watch this video. We had three generations answer the same question.
When you were a kid, what did you do for fun?
So we go blueberry picking, for instance. That's so cute. But it was true.
We grew watermelons, plantains.
I found an old sign, which was big enough for me to sit on. It made a great toboggan. It was very slick, very fast.
I had a few fish in my basket, and I looked up on this bluff, and here's this black bear sitting there watching me. If he starts chasing me, I'm going to keep throwing the fish out of my basket until he's gorged and he won't bother me.
And what did you like to do for fun?
You know, you go door to door, get a group of kids, and you play lots of games, hide and seek, just going out to the field and playing baseball.
And we build these massive forts, you know, the kind that you can actually sit in and play in, you know, with our friends. And it was just really wonderful.
So what do you like to do for fun?
Video games. Definitely.
I like to go on my phone,
text, some email.
My favorite thing to do in the world is definitely watching videos and playing video games. Those take up so much of my time.
3 hours or 3 to 4 hours a day.
Same.
5 hours straight.
Just last week, I watched 23 episodes of a TV series in less than 4 days.
I forget. I'm in a house, I have parents, I have a sister, I have a dog, I just think I'm in the video game, I completely get lost.
I would die if I don't have my tablet.
Whenever I feel upset, I'd play video games and I'd feel normal. It's really wonderful.
When your daughters grow up, your great-great-grandkids, what do you think will happen if this trend continues?
It's scary to think that they'll never have to leave the house.
Cindy grew up doing a lot of the things that I did and enjoyed, and I see what my grandsons are doing today, and it's mind-boggling.
By the time they have kids, it's going to be a really different environment.
I actually feel a little sad because I feel like he's missing out on what's out there in the beautiful world.
And the rest of that commercial talks about getting in touch with nature and how Nature Valley products can help you do that, okay? This is not a message about decrying video games and social media and that we shouldn't be involved in it at all. I think they're an incredible opportunity with social media. We have a way to communicate values, reconnect with people that we graduated from high school with, share the gospel worldwide. When we sing the song "All Over the World, Your Name Has Renown," but you know that is actually happening via. A few weeks ago, or a few months ago, rather, we had a missionary here from in the Mozambique area, and they said everyone there has a cell phone. Okay, you know, it's just interesting how technology is done. But as we've seen with all these topics that we've talked about, is that there we can take God's design and we can use it wrongly, and it can bring some terrible things. And a lot of the changes that we see in the morality of our country are being impacted via social media. Now, when you look at what are we defining as social media? This is actually a Webster Dictionary definition of that. It's forms of electronic communication as websites for social networking and microblogging through which users create online communities to share information, ideas, personal messages, and other content such as videos. And believe it or not, the Word of God has something to say about our use of social media. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about some clear instruction from God's Word, some personal convictions we ought to have, and how, as we live those convictions, we need to move out with God's truth and God's compassion in it. Now, I'm probably going to give you more statistics than in any of these other messages, because I knew this was a big deal. I just didn't know how big a deal it was. And I just want you to get somewhat of a glimpse of the enormity of what social media, how it's affecting our world and here in America. For example, there are a little over 7 billion people in the world, worldwide today. And 50% of them are under the age of 30. And as I go down through these statistics, you can kind of see how this is a move, an exponential move in our culture. 98% of the U.S. in America of 18 to 24 year olds, 98% have at least one social media account. Social media is the number one activity on the internet. 1 in 8 couples who end up marrying in America found each other through a social media site. It took 38 years for radio to reach 50 million users. It took television 13 years to reach that number of 50 million. In fact, it's interesting, when television first came out, there were a lot of, I hear this, I wasn't around at that time, but I heard this, there were a lot of ministers that were decrying that you shouldn't be using TV because, you know, after all, Satan is called the prince and power of the air, and it comes over the airwaves and it's going to get you too, you know, that kind of stuff. And I remember at one of my churches, I went, and the head trustee was telling me, he goes, I remember our pastor was talking about how you shouldn't have a TV in your home, and I went up and did some electrical work in his attic, and there was a TV antenna. There. Now, let me explain this. Kids, it used to be that you didn't have cable TV or you couldn't get it online or whatever. You actually had to have a metal rod that kind of stuck out, you know, like this on top of your house, or you would have what we call bunny ears on the top of your TV, and that would help get the signal. And we got, if we were lucky, 3 different television stations, NBC, ABC, and CBS. I thought Marilyn and I had moved into the high life when we took our first church, and not only did they have a TV antenna up, but down by the TV, the neatest invention is it had a little knob that you turned. And the reason for that knob, we lived out in the country, is it would move the antenna to a certain way. So if you wanted to watch CBS, you would go maybe to the northeast. You know, if you wanted to watch NBC, then you would turn the dial a little bit and you could get a clearer picture that way. 13 years to reach 50 million people. When the internet came about, it took 4 years to get 50 million people. The iPod took 3 years. And now Facebook alone added over 200 million users just last month. You see, this is an incredible, fast-moving thing. If Facebook were a country, it would be the 3rd largest populated country in the world. 1.49 billion users last month. Boggles the mind. By the way, this isn't just a kid thing. You know, the fastest growing segment on Facebook is adults 55 to 65. In fact, 31% of all seniors are on Facebook and on the internet of that. Universities, you know, email used to be a great thing. That's not that long ago that email was brought about. A lot of universities are now no longer handing out individual email accounts. Instead, they're given iPads, e-readers, and tablets. 80% of companies, corporations, use social media as a way to recruit new employees. And of those that do, 95% of them use the social media site LinkedIn. Some actors and actresses have more followers on Twitter than the population of certain countries like Sweden and Panama and Israel. And so their influence and their impact of what they say and what they think is meeting a large group of people. Now let's move to YouTube. It's the 2nd largest search engine. The most common thing searched is music videos. YouTube has over 1 billion users. Every day, people watch hundreds of millions of hours on YouTube and generate billions of views. The number of hours people are watching on YouTube is up 50% year after year after year. 6 billion hours of video are watched on YouTube alone every month. 300 hours of video are uploaded onto YouTube every minute. I mean, can you even wrap your mind around this? Just what a big deal this is? Half of YouTube views are on mobile devices, smartphones like this one here, and the revenue on YouTube is up 100%. One of the, as I was searching for a definition of social media, I looked at like the Webster-Merriam Dictionary online, but there was one that had more of a working man's definition, and here's what they said: your electronic second life. It's a whole new world. And there are applications coming up all the time because this is such a huge market that people are wanting to get in on it. Now, I know I'm not a social media or internet expert, I found that this was helpful in understanding the different types of uses for social media. So I came across this. This is social media explained with donuts. Okay? All right? Here's how you use these sites. On Twitter, you tweet out, I'm eating a donut. On Facebook, you say, I like donuts. On Foursquare, you say, this is where I eat donuts. On Instagram, you say, here's a vintage photo of my donut. On YouTube, you said, here I am eating a donut. On LinkedIn, you said, my skills include eating donuts. On Pinterest, you say, here's a donut recipe. On Last.fm, you say, I'm listening to donuts. And on Google Plus, you say, I'm a Google employee who eats donuts. And someplace else, there used to be a website called MySpace. It's still around, but it says, here's a picture of my stale donut. You know, people are moving away from MySpace, okay? As you go into this, you see that multi-platform use is on the rise. 50% of online adults now use two or more social media sites. This is the first time more than ever than half of all adults online, 65 and older, let me read this again. More than half of all online adults, 65 and older, 56% of them use Facebook. This represents 31% of all seniors. For the first time, roughly half of the internet using young age adults, 18 to 29, 53% of them use Instagram, and half of Instagram uses 49%. I think a lot of adults first got on Facebook because they're wanting to spy on their kids, you know, but the kids are way ahead of us, and they move to other applications and other things that they are not, that we're not able to follow quite as easily. By the way, women, this is for you. 42% of online women now use Pinterest. It's the fastest growing individual site. 80% of their total membership in Pinterest is women, okay? Here's another little stat that you find. This is as of January 2015. There's 7.2 billion people in the world. 3 billion of them are active internet users. On social media, 2 billion. On the mobile phones and devices, 3.6 billion people. And of those that use mobile phones, almost 1.7 billion use social media sites. So this is a big thing, and I'll just tell you, we live in interesting times. And again, the Bible has something to say about our use of it. And we're going to see why do we need to talk about social media. Never before has there been a time that virtually every person in the world has had an opportunity to communicate with every other person. And that can take place in real time. There have been revolts and revolutions happen within countries based upon the movement of Twitter. We've seen that in the Middle East. It's changed publishing, music, news reporting, banking, retail, filmmaking. They've all been transformed by this, and it also impacts the way that we communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the gospel tells us we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I think we need to be aware of the power of social media and its influence in our life, and that if we are not careful, it can take over our hearts and our minds and our strengths. And we have to ask these kind of questions. Am I honoring God with my use of social media? Now, the tendency is to think about all the other people that aren't, but let's take this through ourselves first. Am I honoring God with the way that I use social media? What influence is it having upon my life? Am I using this relatively new power of connection in a positive way, or is it using me? You see, social media is morally neutral. It can be used for great good or incredible harm, but we have to master it. We want the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart to be pleasing to our Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. By the way, just before service today, I just decided, I wonder if I Googled God, how many responses I could get. Searches, responses. So I Googled God, and I came up with 1,450,000,000 responses in 0.37 of a second. So a lot of people have something to say about God. Listen, we want to be able to, we don't want them going on Google and finding out about God, because we believe that there is a way, the truth, and the life, and it's revealed to us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the way, Jesus came in an interesting second with 587 million possible search areas in 0.22 of a second. Look what the Word of God says. It's in your sermon notes now. Proverbs 4:20-27. My child, pay attention to what I say. Proverbs is the book of wisdom. What you will find repeated over and over again, just in this chapter alone. Listen to me. Pay attention. Don't forget. Take this to heart. He's saying, listen to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life for those who find them and healing to the whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on that safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. And we're going to use this passage of Scripture to guide us through how our attitude, how our actions, how our thinking ought to be toward communicating, and in particular, communicating on social media. And I want to borrow from last week what we ended up with. See, here's what Proverbs is telling. Here's what wisdom is speaking into our heart, is the voice I listen to determines the choice I make. And if I listen to right voices, I will make right choices. But if I listen to wrong voices, I will make the wrong choice. Pay attention to it. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So how do I guard my heart? How do I guard my heart on social media? And I would say this, you guard your heart on social media much the same way you guard your heart in other areas of your life. Because God is a communicating God. He's spoken to us through His Word and in His Word, and He has something to say. I may not be an expert on social media, but I do know some biblical wisdom and on how we are called to communicate with each other and how God designed us to do. So let's look at two things here. First, I need to take control of how I communicate and what I listen to. If the voices equals choices model was true, and we could show that throughout Scripture over and over again, then I need to take control of how I communicate and of what I listen to. I'm not just going to jump into the flow of a culture that moves away from God. I'm going to take personal responsibility for it. Proverbs 4:24 says, avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Proverbs, as it's telling us about wisdom and how we need to acquire it, it speaks quite frequently about words. It will use the words, speech, voice, mouth, lips, tongue, and talk. All these euphemisms are talking about our communication. In the book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs, one out of every seven verses deal with their words. You see, the use of words is very near to God's heart, and how we use them will show whether we are a wise person or whether we are a fool. Words are central to God's own person and His being and creation. God created the world and all the things that we see through the use of words. God said, "Let there be." He spoke to it. God has revealed Himself to us in the written word, the words of life that are timeless and unchangeable. And He revealed Himself most in how we can have a relationship through Jesus Christ, who is the living Word of God. Words are important to God. You might want to write some of these passages down. Proverbs 16:21-24. Listen to the wisdom. The wise are known for their understanding, and pleasant words are persuasive. Discretion is a life-giving fountain to those who possess it, but discipline is wasted on fools. From a wise mind comes wise speech. The words of the wise are persuasive. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. You go into the New Testament, what does Paul talk about? I'm sure there was a Bob in the Bible too, okay? All right. Excuse me, I'm a professional speaker, okay? Paul talks to the church at Ephesus, and he said, Bob, listen. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. In Colossians 3, he writes the church of Colossae, and he says, it's a time now to get rid of anger and malice and rage and slander and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator, and notice this, and become like Him. Reason I take control of what how I communicate and what I listen to is because God's plan for my life is that I become more like Jesus. And one of the things we need to ask ourselves is in the things that I am involved in, the way that I talk in my private life, but the way that I talk on social media, am I showing may be the right word, is it representative that I am becoming more like Jesus in my character? Or do I post things? Do I tweet things? Do I share things that are not very becoming of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, nor of me as a representative of His work in my life? It's a good question to ask. You ought to pay attention to what you share. If the Bible says no unwholesome talk should come out of your mouth and get away with dirty language, don't share things that have dirty language and perverse talk in them. Pay attention to what you're doing. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You see, the reason we need to take control, particularly of social media, is for three things that I would share for you. Social media increases my audience. All of a sudden, the world is my platform. All of a sudden, I am connected with people that I don't even know that I can tweet out or that I can post about or various things. Again, 1.49 billion monthly active users as of June 30 of 2015 on Facebook alone. Proverbs 12, 18 and 19 says, there is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. I know that our students that went to church camp, they had a whole session on social media, and one of the things that they were told is to take 20 seconds before you post or repost or retweet something, and make sure that this is something that you want to be representing of who you are as a person. Again, Proverbs 12:14, wise words bring many benefits, and hard work brings rewards. And then I like this one here because I think that we ought to work to say the right word at the right time to the right people. And the Bible talks about that. Proverbs 25, 11 to 12, it's kind of poetic in the way that he says it. He says that like apples of gold and setting of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. Your voice needs to be heard. Use the platforms of social media, but pay attention and make sure that you're communicating and realize it gets in the audience that you don't have total control about. And I just think as a general rule that when you're making corrections or when you're confronting someone, social media is not the avenue to do it. Do it face to face. One of the things I admitted in the first service is I think I'm a pretty funny individual. You know, I make myself laugh quite a bit. And sometimes people post stuff and I just have a little witty thing to say about it, but I just don't do that because I don't want to be misunderstood. And now I do have a couple pastor friends and they'll do things and I think it's something that's kind of funny about it. And I'll give them a call or I'll personal message or whatever. So this is what I want to say, but I didn't want to start an argument, you know, and things, and we just have a little time to talk with each other there. You have a greater audience whenever you're on any platform, even the anonymous ones. We find out, over the course of time, even the things that tell you can do this anonymously, you are very seldom anonymous once you connect online. And another question you need to ask yourself is, why are you hiding out? Because the Bible says God is a God of light. Okay, that's another thing, okay? Social media amplifies my message. You are on the world's PA system when you get online, when you talk about it, and it's a world where everyone can become a movie star. Interesting, as people have done studies, in face-to-face communication and conversation, 30 to 40% of your conversation generally will be about yourself. That whole dynamic changes when you get on social media. 80% of people's communication on social media is about me. My pictures, everything I want, my wants, my likes, my dislikes, what I'm doing. And we just got to be careful that we don't become self-centered in the process of using something that can be good and wholesome and healthy. You see, Proverbs 15:28 says, "The heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. The mouth of wicked overflows with evil words." There's another scripture that says, "With the increase of words comes the increased possibility of sinning." So pay attention to your words. I came across this before the internet. I remember using it in a message in the first church that I was involved in. Now I see that people have pins on Pinterest and it's been posted on Facebook, but it's been around for a long time. And it's the acronym THINK, T-H-I-N-K. And I think it's just good. The question that we would ask is, T, is this true? Is what I'm sharing or what I'm posting, is it true? And if you don't know that it's true, why are you posting it? Okay? Is it true? It could be true, but it's not helpful. Is it helpful? What is my motive for communicating this? And so the H is it helpful? I is inspirational. We're called to build up, not to tear down. Does it inspire something within a person to bring meaningful, life-giving change in their life? N, is it necessary? Because it can be true, helpful, inspirational, but it's really not necessary to put it on a social media site, okay? Maybe you ought to talk to that person individually. Is it kind? The words that I'm doing is kind. So is it true, helpful, inspirational, necessary, kind? We used to talk about that the best kind of advertising is word of mouth. Even businesses would say word of mouth is the best way to advertise. Now, when you look at social media and people trying to get you to be on there's a new phrase. It's the world of mouth. And people still pay attention to whether you like and the reviews and so forth. But now your business is opened up to the entire world. You see, our words are a matter of the heart. And if our words are saying things that aren't true, helpful, inspirational, necessary, and kind, I would say that is a matter of something that's wrong in your own heart. You see, death is in your words in that case. And the Bible tells us that life and death lie in the power of the tongue. It amplifies your message. And lastly here, it accelerates the impact of my words. Because I have a larger audience, because it is amplified and has a PA system, if you will, it accelerates the impact of my words, and it's hard. It's very hard to get them back. In fact, there's an interesting thing about the acceleration of things that were going. Buckminster Fuller created the knowledge doubling curve, and he, according to his data, he noticed that until 1900, human knowledge doubled approximately every century. But by the end of World War II, knowledge was doubling every 25 years. Today, things are not as simple as different types of knowledge have different rates of growth. But on average, human knowledge is doubling every 13 months. And according to IBM, the build out of the internet things will lead to the doubling of knowledge every 12 hours. Wow. Unbelievable. But now we can see it happening literally before our eyes. What I didn't find is when you have this accelerating of knowledge and the doubling of knowledge, I think that there's an equal slide where the decrease of common sense many times has gone down. And I don't know what rate it's dropping, but it seems to be dropping because, as you've heard before, the problem with common sense is it doesn't seem to be very common anymore. Listen, what the Bible tells us is common sense truths. This is how you communicate, and this is not how. What, regardless of the platform, whether you're talking to an individual or where you're sending out into a world of people that many you don't even know. You see, we love gossip. They loved it back in biblical times. Look what Proverbs 26 says. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. A charcoal to embers, and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. You see, social media accelerates, and many times it can be an accelerant for good or for bad. In fact, we use this word going viral, and if you post a video, you would, you know, I guess you have a desire that it would go viral, which means you have a lot of people watching it and it's passed around. And I just said viral. Why are they using the word viral on there? Because viral is like a disease, something that begins to affect your body, and it goes with rapidity within your life, and it's a negative thing. And what I did my study, and here's what it came up with. Viral was really talking about viruses and computer technology and how they did that. But now it looked in a positive way as videos. There's one video on YouTube that has almost 2.5 billion views and shares over the course of time. It's gone viral, okay? Now let's go to the next one, okay? I want to take control, but I also want to stay focused. And here's my thinking. Whatever you end up sharing with others, share with God first. The Bible repeatedly tells us that we are God's representative. We speak for Christ. And so say, God, you okay with this? Here's what I find that happens with our own family. We take a family picture and we're going to put it on, and you say, is this okay to post? You know what everyone does? They look at it. How's my hair? Do I have any food between my teeth? You know, that kind of stuff. Are my eyes open, eyes closed? You look at yourself, right? Okay, guys with me? Okay, that's what we have a tendency. You see a group photo, you look at yourself. Then you make kind of comment. Is this the way to say it? And I'm thinking, maybe I should do that with God. Before I share something, before I post something, before I tweet something, before I like something. God, are you okay with this? I think it's just a simple, good question to ask. Some of you have already filled this out. What is the line there? What would Jesus do? It's a question that Charles Shelton asked in the book, In His Steps, as you go through life. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do when he saw a situation? Would he move to help, or would he ignore him? Would he criticize? What would he do? See, the Bible says, look straight ahead, fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on a safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Why would he tell us? It's easy to get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Here's what I find myself doing. I'm going to go search something. I'm going to check for email. I end up checking Facebook, and all of a sudden that sees me, you know, and then I go to something else, and then that leads me to something else. And then I said, what was I doing this for in the first place? And I couldn't remember what the first thing I was doing. Okay, don't get distracted. Stay focused. What would Jesus do? Now, to apply this in our day-to-day life, and if we want to honor Jesus in our daily life, here I'm going to spell this out for you in different ways. What would Jesus tweet? Jesus would tell you, you are what you tweet. It reveals your heart. What would Jesus tweet? And if Jesus wouldn't tweet it, if you wouldn't feel good about sending it to Jesus, maybe you shouldn't send it and ask God, why is this in my heart? And confess your sin. What would Jesus post? Or what would Jesus pin? I think Jesus would really like this recipe, okay? What would Jesus like? Don't like something on Facebook or something just because you like the person. Don't try to affirm them that way. You affirm them for something that in their character and their value. Don't just like something that you disagree with just because you're wanting to like them. Okay? What would Jesus share? Or what would Jesus Snapchat? Here's Peter walking on water. Whoop, he's gone. That's how it works, okay? All right. And here's another. You have to change this one. Where would Jesus be? Where would he be? My mom grew up, she goes, don't ever be anywhere, David, that you wouldn't want to be when Jesus returns. After a while, I said, Mom was looking at this figuratively. I could go ahead and go to the bathroom, okay? Okay, where would you be when Jesus, where would Jesus be? Ask that question and think about it, okay? So how do you do this? You focus my thoughts. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and see my anxious thoughts. See if there be any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What I am suggesting that you do is that you use your time on social media to not avoid your relationship with God, but instead include God in that relationship. I'm not telling you to be overly spiritual and put a Bible verse and, you know, or tag Jesus in every post. I'm not saying that. I don't want to make you fake or over spiritual. Instead, bring Jesus into this part of your world and use it as a platform to develop your heart to love God more fully in your life. Search me, O God. The other thing is focus my emotions. A lot of the times when we do stuff that we shouldn't do or say things that we shouldn't say, it's because our emotions are all messed up. In fact, we have little characters and stuff that can say what we're feeling. Here's what you need to understand. Social media is not your friend. Facebook is not your friend. You may have friends on Facebook, but it's not your friend. God wants you to be involved in interpersonal relationships with accountability with people. Don't hide out on social media. Instead, it tells us in the scriptures, fools vent their anger, but the wise quietly hold it back. It tells us to give all of our worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. Don't use social media as a way to affirm yourself as a person or to try to let other people think that you're all right when you know that really you need a touch of God in your life. Focus your emotions. Be led by the Spirit. And then focus your desires. Focus my desires. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. What you have on the remainder of your sermon notes is an article that I found online. It was a blog, and I have edited and adapted it. One of the primary things that I did is, like, it says, are you glorifying God through your use of social media? I just find it helpful for me to take in the principles of God's word when I personalize it. You'll notice on the sermons that I have, I don't say, you should do this or you should do it. I usually make it in the personal pronoun because I think that's what God wants us to do with His word. So a good question to ask yourself, am I glorifying God through my use of social media? And how does that show itself? Does my use of social media lead me into sin? And really, this might help you. The first four questions here really deal with testimony. Again, you can see the full article there, but this is my stuff. Testimony, my witness for Christ, how I represent myself as a person. To me, it seemed like number 5 and 6 really talked about my time. Is my use of social media taking over my life? Is my use of social media helping to redeem the time that God has given me? In fact, you are being studied by your use of social media. You know the first thing that most people do in the morning? Check Facebook. That's right. It's the first activity on a mobile device or on a computer is checking your Facebook. And that's not bad to do necessarily, but you could ask yourself, should this be my first? And maybe as a matter of priority, I want to read Scripture first. You know, you get some great online tools on your smartphone. Bible Gateway. What's the other one? I've got it on my phone. I don't know. I can't think of it right now. Okay. The 7, 8, and 9 deal with your thought life. How is this influencing my thinking? Do I use it as a way to complain? Because the Bible says one of the marks of your following me is that you're a person that is always grateful and thankful. This is God's will for you. Do I use social media for unprofitable arguments? You may think they're profitable, but listen, sometimes it's fun to argue. And I would just argue that social media isn't the way to do that. If you have a beef with someone, do it face to face. Don't try to talk to that one person in your circle of friends via social media, hoping that they will get it that it was about them. The next one is relationships and our emotions, because they're tied together. Okay? Do I value social media interactions more than real life relationships? Is this identity that I have through social media meeting things that God designed for me to have with the people of my family or my church? Do my use of social media make me healthy or more productive person? Do I have any relationships through social media that I should bring to an end or limit? And I would add this, do you have any fake accounts? Do you have any aliases on there? And I just want to tell you, you shouldn't do that. I have a number of reasons for doing it, but you shouldn't do it. Bring it out into the light. Don't try to be somebody that you're not. Don't put a fake profile out there. Don't have interactions with someone where you're nurturing a relationship, and especially a romantic relationship with someone that you shouldn't be having a relationship with. Do I have relationships through social media that I should bring to an end and or limit? I think in the Facebook, I have actually only defriended one person, and I just think they put vile things on all the time, and they're not in this community, but I defriended them. But another thing that I have done with certain people is I put, I don't want to see this. You can go onto the right side, you can say, I don't want to see this. Even if it's a person that I'm not going to do on a regular, you can unfollow them, or you can say, there's some pictures that I just don't need to see, and so I say, hide this post. You know, I just don't want it filling my life with. And then 13, 14, and 15 really talk about your outlook, your attitude. Does it make me discontent? Am I using it to boast my ego? Am I using it to hide out? Because here's what God calls us to do. He says, be real, be authentic. And use social media to represent me. But don't use social media to hide out and not be involved in the real community that I want you to be involved in. I want you to be a neighbor. I want you to be fully invested in your family. I want you to be involved in the church and make relationships where you can sit across from one another and really speak into each other's life. Because this is how I've designed you. Let's pray.